What are you psyching yourself out for? You read Bobby Knight's book. Winning is a state of mind.
Bobby who?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 5, One on One. Here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi.
Oh, that was quite an intro, Dave. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What you guys can't see is that Dave cannot stop. He can't help himself dancing to that klezmer music.
That's true.
It's,
I do the Homer Simpson just bend at the knees dance.
He totally does. Anyway, welcome, Sarah. How are you?
I am fine. Welcome, Tara. Let's talk about race, shall we?
Oh, let's do. And through the prism of basketball, because that's not a cliche. We will get to that. First, let's dispense with the B story, which is Brenda wants a car. Let's just get into it. Play clip two.
Mom, you see why I need my own car?
Brenda.
I can't depend on him. I can't get anywhere on time, and he does it on purpose just to drive me crazy.
Brenda.
I've got to get control of my own destiny. You said so yourself.
Yes, but first you need to get your driver's license, honey.
I'm taking driver's training.
I know.
This is just them staring at each other for this long until Brenda's like, fine.
Brenda, you're a simpleton. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Right?
I love Cindy's Carol Potter's line reading on, I know. Because as we soon will find out when Brenda goes to sign up for driver's ed at school, this is not the first time that she has taken driver's ed. Apparently she stank it up in Minnesota, not once, not twice, but thrice.
How do you even have time to do that is my question.
Yeah. I don't know.
When did she start the first one? Like at age 12? I don't.
She may have dropped out a bunch of times. So before we get to her meeting the driver's ed teacher, there's also this stupidity in clip number three.
Callie! So, Brenda. So, late. So, new? So, cute. So, thanks. So, bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Did you hear her say bye?
Some people still say bye. Hello. Anyway, so Brenda has a total a NASCAR fantasy, and then that's when we find out about her many failures. But her teacher is very calm about it, which is surprising considering that when he takes her out to drive, he not only is not wearing a seatbelt, but neither is she. Weird, irresponsible, wrong. She manages to maintain her confidence somewhat, but then when he actually takes her out of the parking lot at school and onto the road, this happens. Clip number four.
That looks like Henry Winkler.
That's not him.
Brenda, you have the right of way.
That is Henry Winkler! Brenda!
Jesus. All right. I just want to say, production note-wise, we recorded the first three, four episodes, what it has been now, at too high a volume, and they had to bring it down, so that's why the highs of all the clips are very crunchy. That'll be fixed next week, so FYI.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the reason that Brenda needs a car, apparently, is so that when Kelly calls her whining about this terrible double date that she's gone on, where someone puked in the limo that he rented to go see Janet Jackson, who has not even shown up, Brenda is supposed to go and get her, even though Brenda's like, why can't you just get a cab? And why can't Kelly get a cab? Isn't she rich?
Well, and also, like, I am not a, you know, I have never lived in Los Angeles, but it's not my understanding that you can get anywhere in LA from anywhere else in 10 minutes, much less driving surface streets like Brenda ends up doing. Well, whatever. We'll get to that. She's like, if you take the car now, you could be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No. And she, like, where are you? The spectrum? You can't ever get to the spectrum in 10 minutes, even from inside the spectrum. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but Kelly knows already how to manipulate Brenda, and it 100% works in clip number five.
Look, if you took the car out right now, you'd be back in 10 minutes max.
Kelly, I don't know.
Come on, Brandon will never know the difference. Please, you're my best friend.
I am. Please.
I mean, it works. But Brenda has a terrible sense of direction. She can't find Doheny, which is stupid because if you live in Beverly Hills, it's everywhere. She drives around in circles for like 20 minutes, apparently, and the car runs out of gas after 20 minutes of street driving, which, like, why did Brandon drive it home with a thimble full of gas in it? I mean, I guess that's his right because it's his car. But anyway. So she leaves the car. She and the gigantic tongues of her sneakers walk to the nearest gas station. We have a picture of the huge tongues of her weird shoes. And she meets the chillest gas station guy ever who just keeps saying, it happens, it happens. She, even though she doesn't have a gas can, she doesn't have money. And when he drives her back to the car is gone. So when Brandon gets home from his adventures, which we will get to, he sees that Brenda and Jim and Cindy have called the cops about his car getting stolen out of the driveway. Even though, as he says, why would anyone in Beverly Hills want his shitty old car?
And they sent a plainclothes detective, which, not a uniform.
Sure. Yeah. And he's like, when Brandon says, why would they want my crappy car, essentially? He's like, well, with a good motor, take it south of the border, it's worth bloody blah. It's like, okay, A, racist, and B, gives Brandon the opportunity to say, my motor was in mint condition. Like, no one cares. but anyway, he figures out that Brenda took the car, and they have this exchange, clip number 6.
How could you take my car without asking me?
Kelly was in such dire straits, I didn't even stop to think about it.
Well, that's the way it's been ever since we moved to Beverly Hills, Bren. You not stopping and thinking about anyone or anything except for Kelly and her little inner circle. And you know what? It's getting real boring.
Brandon, you're right. You are. And I'm going to pay you back. I promise. And I'll do anything you want. Just don't tell Mom, please.
Don't tell her what? That you took my car? That you lied to her about it?
How was I supposed to know Mondale was running out of gas?
You checked the gas gauge. Like any qualified driver, you get in the car, you put on your seatbelt, you adjust the mirror, you check the gas gauge.
Brandon, that's it.
What's it?
It's because of Debbie Dillman's mother.
Excuse me?
Don't you remember? We were in the back seat when she rammed into that tree, and we couldn't go over and play at Debbie's all summer long because her mother was in a body cast? That's why I'm great at everything I do but driving.
Brenda, nope. That was 11 years ago. Get over it.
Hey, Brandon. I'm sorry, I know how much making the team means to you.
Well, to tell you the truth, Brenda, I got a lot of things on my mind right now. A lot of things.
Aren't you dying to
like
know
that
what's
I'm
on
a racist jag. Anyway.
I'm sure you're dying to know what's on Brandon's mind. We will get to it. Anyway, Brenda, after she's had this breakthrough, her confidence is maybe back up, and she returns to her instructor, and that is clip number 7.
When I struck Henry Winkler the other day, it struck me that maybe emotionally,
okay,
I'm
Bradshaw.
Incapable of ever learning how to drive.
Brenda, a new driver is only as good as his or her instructor.
You really think so?
Absolutely. And I assure you, it is only a matter of time before you find a different teacher with great reflexes and a profound death wish.
So, you think that I should drop the course, huh?
Or consider some alternative form of transportation, like walking.
How about instead we walk over to the driver's training parking lot and give those reflexes a workout?
Cut to Brenda.
And then she twinkles at him for like a year. Like, that's
it
not
takes
cute.
No, it's not. And also, I believe it's still after this breakthrough and triumph or whatever, however we're supposed to interpret it, it still takes her like at least another season before she gets her driver's license. And even after that, she barely drives because Brenda is useless, as we will continue to learn through her not getting a job or whatever, even though she's good at everything she does except for driving, according to herself. Anyway, The A story. A for asshole. So we find out, as we begin, the reason that Brenda is going to be late for school, she says, is that Brandon and Jim are dicking around in the driveway shooting baskets, which Brandon is apparently good at, and it's all in slow motion, and it's so weirdly shot that I was it seems like it's a dream sequence of Brandon imagining how great he is, like at the beginning of the surfing episode. But it's not. We're supposed to take at face value that Brandon is super awesome at basketball, although the rest of the school has doubts about it. And let's play clip number 8.
But you are covering the basketball tryouts today.
Actually, I'm trying out for the team.
Really?
Yeah.
Aren't you a little short?
Thanks.
Zuckerman 2016. It begins.
He is a little short. He's a lot short, actually.
He's a big short. Yeah.
And also, I never worked at a paper. Why would they cover tryouts? Like, who gives a shit? Seriously, I'm asking. Anyway, so at the tryouts, Brandon is intimidated by the competition, but Steve tries to buck him up, and that is sort of, and that is clip number 9.
Sure are a lot of guys in the program.
These open tryouts are a joke. Coach Riley only holds them to promote school spirit. Everyone knows he's already set the lineup. Take me, for example. I started JV last year. He practically told me I'm practically a lock. But don't quote me on that, because I don't want to come off as arrogant.
Hey, actually, I came down for tryouts myself. Aren't you a little short?
So both of these times, Brandon is shocked that anyone would say this, like he doesn't know he's short. I mean, it's basketball. Like, there are other sports where it doesn't matter how tall you are. Why don't you try it out for wrestling? But then there wouldn't be a racial angle, which is what we hear in clip number 10 when Brandon gets a callback and Steve does not.
I don't believe it.
It's got to be some kind of mistake.
Steve!
What?
Hey, I'm sorry. I was hoping we'd get to play together this season.
If you think you're going to make a pass in next round, you are totally naive. This whole thing is rigged anyway.
What do you mean rigged?
DeWitt, Walker. How many of those dudes you think live in Beverly Hills? A big fat Zippo.
Hey, wait a second. I've been told you can't go to West Beverly unless you live in the district.
Unless you're a major jock. Why do you think we beat Beverly High last year? Because they play by the rules. We don't.
How do we get around the rules?
We put them in this applied learning opportunity thing.
Applied what?
It's a special program for minorities, Brandon, so we can all become more enriched and diverse.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Hey, come on, Steve. I'm new around here. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. You want to know? They say this program is open to everybody. The major requirement is how high you can jump or how fast you can run the 100. After you've been here a while, you just may notice that these suckers never go to class. Fact is, they're getting a free ride around here, and it makes me sick. You can quote me on that.
That you can quote him on? That's what you want to go on the record
this
with?
This is not the first time Steve refers to these African-American students as suckers. Like, if anyone's a sucker, it's you. Because you keep going to class, even though it seems to have no effect, as we'll see, as we continue our journey with the show. And also, you're not, like, you tried out anyway. Like, if you're so smart, why are you bothering? They're not the suckers.
No,
you are.
That's true. And that, but they awkwardly, in the middle of this exchange, James comes out with a bunch of his friends on the team who are all African-American, but are all also really tall. And it's clear that James is, as we'll see in the many fights that he's about to have with Brandon, also teeny tiny. So the fact that, I mean, I assume they had to cast someone that wouldn't loom over Jason Priestley in their scenes. But it's also like
so
equally absurd that either
it.
Of these guys would be trying out for the team because they're, not put Brandon on 7 apple boxes.
Phone
anyway,
books. Yeah, exactly.
Brandon goes to the peach pit to pick up his check and happens to run into James. And then this happens. Clip number 12.
I'm Brandon Walsh. I fed you a couple buckets of tryouts today.
Right.
Yo, James, out the door.
All right, I got a jet.
Hey, it's cool. I just wanted to say, you know, good luck and I'll be playing with you this season.
Yeah, all right.
Dude has no chance of making the team.
I love that director held on that long enough for us to hear them laughing at him some more. Yeah, it's great. So Brandon is dismayed, and then even more so when he meets up with Steve the next day in Steve's kimono, and Steve has some more remarks about the state of racial relations, and that is clip number 12.
Good. Listen, I almost called you last night. I had an extra ticket to the Lakers-Celtics game.
Oh, man, you should have called me.
I know, I'm sorry, but it was a last-minute kind of thing.
That was magic.
Magic was magic, but Bird was unstoppable and McHale on the boards.
Wait a minute, I thought you were a Lakers fan.
Except when the Celtics come to town.
Why, were you born in Boston?
No, I'm a Beverly Hills native.
What were you doing rooting for the Celtics?
Us Irish guys have got to stick together. You know how it is.
How what is?
Walsh, take care of yourself.
What? First of all, is Boston generally known to be the team for racists? And I just was not aware of that.
I think it tends to be more Caucasian American historically than some teams.
Sure.
Or it's the fact that it's Boston / Irish. I don't know about the NBA. We're clearly supposed to deduce, which I had no problem doing, that Steve is a, you know, racist or situational racist, whatever. I do admire his commitment to sort of like, even that dunderhead can tell that Brandon is trying to steer him towards being like, I hate black people. And he's like, yeah, talk to you later.
Yeah. However, Brandon then goes from that exchange to his tech class, which seems to be the only classroom they bought for this season because they keep having scenes there.
Always that sphere with the electricity in it. What are those called?
I don't know. What are those
Dagon
calls?
Sphere. You know what I'm talking about.
I thought
about.
Dave would know. Anyway, Brandon is in there working when James comes in and asks for an extension on his assignment and sort of charms his way out of it. And Brandon is deeply suspicious, which I gift. And apparently this is only adding fuel to the fire that Steve started because he goes to Andrea with his / Steve's conspiracy theory in clip 13.
Listen, 4 weeks into the semester, the guy hasn't shown up once. Doesn't that tell you something?
Yeah, it tells me that this James guy is one of your basic overachievers.
Well, from what Steve Sanders says, the applied learning program has been giving preferential treatment to jocks for years.
Look, the fact is, the ALOP has a great reputation, and I'm sorry, Steve Sanders is a spoiled slug who doesn't come close to being a credible news source.
But that doesn't...
stopped it there because Andrea... God love you.
I forgive you for everything up to this point, Andrea, including, which is past this point, her reporting even further on this story while wearing like an entirely maroon pieced outfit, except for the giant fluffy white socks.
Over her black tights.
Over her black, I thought they were dark red, but still, over the black granny boots.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to dress Gabrielle Carteris' body, and they found zero of them.
Never. Like, starting in season one and through when she was pregnant, it was like she just never looked good. Maybe one time. Maybe at the fashion show she looked okay, but we'll get there.
Poor kid.
So the Brandon's pitch about the ALOP conspiracy continues in clip 14.
But that doesn't mean there aren't hundreds of so-called student-athletes playing college ball around this country who can't even spell their own names, okay? And that kind of preferential BS treatment starts right here at the high school level.
Look, if you think you have a major story, set up an interview and go for it.
Actually, I was hoping you'd run with it.
Me? Cover sports? Likely.
And come on, I can't write this. It's a blatant conflict of interest.
Only if you make the team, which rumor has it is something less than a sure thing.
But no matter when I write it, everyone will say it's sour grapes.
Well, is it?
You don't think it's unfair they bring a guy in from out of district to play basketball?
No comment.
No comment? What does that mean?
It means I live out of district, remember?
Andrea, this isn't about geography.
That's right. It's about race.
That is not true. Look, if you don't want to do the legwork, fine. Just don't put me down for trying to bring a killer story to print.
Okay. Give me a couple of names and maybe I will drop by the ALOP office and see what I can dig up.
Thanks.
This really is a very well-funded school if the ALOP has its own entire office, by the way.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, so Andrea buckles because she's in love with Brandon already, and Brandon goes to...
And also, not for nothing, but me cover sports, I don't think so. Nice leadership yeah. underpinned by experience there, Zuckerman. Mm. Like, shouldn't you be able to, quote, cover anything? Mm.
Anyway, Brandon goes from there to his second tryout where he pouts because all the tall players won't pass to him and things only get worse when Jim shows up to psych him out. Yes, that's true. It's not their fault. He should be happy they're not stepping on him. Anyway, Brandon manages to sink one basket while Jim is watching, so I guess he gets to continue being his son for another day. But when he goes out after, Andrea, in her terrible outfit, is waiting for him and tells him, dun, 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 James is not even in the ALOP. And also, he's the only student at the entire school who doesn't have a transcript or a GPA.
He's James Hogue, the infamous Princeton identity thief.
Oh, no. Well, we don't get that far yet. But it does give Brandon his first of many opportunities to yell at James, and that's clip 15.
Listen, Brandon, I lost it out there, and I apologize. You don't deserve this kind of garbage.
Listen,
so just let me say, I saw that little bump and run that Walker laid on you, and I told him it was a cheap shot. But being a new kid on the block, he's just looking out for me. That's all it is.
A lot of people looking out for you, aren't there, James?
Oh.
Yes, they are.
Look, I'm the sports editor on the West Beverly Blaze.
School paper?
Yeah. And we have reason to believe you've been recruited here to play basketball in exchange for certain special privileges.
Say what?
Come on, James. You live out of district, you never go to class, and I understand your transcript doesn't show any prior grades or test scores or anything to indicate that you even have the minimum requirements to be at this school, or any school for that matter.
Who gave you the right to be poking around with my record?
That's not the issue.
It is too the issue. If I was white, you wouldn't be doing it.
I don't care if you're white or black, you shouldn't be here on a free pass.
Yeah, right.
Truth's gonna come out, James.
God, that clip. All right. We're going to fix that next week, I promise.
Pretty sure the truth did just come out about how you're a jumping to conclusions mat hole.
First. Yeah. Also, this is neither here nor there, really, but how is Brandon the sports editor when he just got there, like, apparently in the middle of the school year, like, 2 weeks ago? It makes no sense. Like, who was the sports editor before he was there? Although,
also, they're juniors for the first time, but still. Yeah. You're juniors. First semester juniors? No, that's not how that goes.
So then Brandon goes home. Jim has found his yearbook in the garage. He's looking through his glory years, I guess. Brandon pretends to care. Jim then says if Brandon makes the team, he could quit his job, which even Cindy is like, no, that's not okay. But then Brandon goes to pick up his check at the Peach Pit and... Or no, he picked up his... He's whatever. He goes to work his shift. It doesn't matter. And we get the ultimate non sequitur from Nat, clip 16.
You see, with mayonnaise, you can't be too specific, okay?
What does that mean?
Here's the thing. There's a whole follow-up about it and, like, comparing it to lettuce and, like, the crunchiness levels, and it still doesn't make any sense.
No.
He talks for 18 months.
I mean...
I will still be quoting it with everything. I said it this morning to the cats. You know, with beef pate, you can't be too specific. The cats were like, we agree. Shut up and feed us. Very weird.
Yeah, it's extremely strange. But anyway, Brandon is like, I mean, the point of that scene is that Brandon is anxious to leave. So Nat finally shuts up. And even though the diner is not open longer than the library at school, that's where Brandon goes and runs into James. And James basically destroys him even more in clip 17.
What are you doing here?
I don't have to justify myself to you.
Yeah, just asked a simple question.
No, it's not simple at all. What you're really asking is, how come a dumb black jock who can't read and who...
Hey, I never said that, James.
Right.
If you just would answer my questions about the Applied Learning Opportunity Program...
How the hell should I know about the learning program? I'm not a part of it.
Quiet, please. You weren't recruited here to play basketball?
That's right.
But you don't live in the district, do you?
Caught me red-handed.
I just want to know how you got permission to go to school in the district.
I don't need permission. My father has worked for the Beverly Hills City Library for 15 years, and that gives me as much right to be here as anyone, including you.
So the reason the ALOP office didn't have your records is because you're not part of their program?
I already told you. I'm here because my father earned a right for me to be here. Not because I was recruited or because I want
to
be.
I don't know what to say.
Hey, then why don't you try saying nothing? See, I was getting by fine in Inglewood when my parents decided it was time to upgrade my education. 4 weeks into the semester, making me have to play catch-up from the get-go.
Sounds like what happened to me.
Yeah, right. That's why your old man tried to suck up to the coach.
Hey, that's not what went down at all.
Shit, I love it. You rich white boys, you get the world handed to you, no strings attached, and you honestly think that's how it is for everyone.
Excuse me, I don't know whose bank account you've been looking at, but I am not rich.
Yeah, but you're white. And that's why your first impulse was to think, hey, he's got to be dumb, or a rap singer, or in a gang, or smoking crack, or whatever stereotype fits your fears. But that's your problem, that's not my problem. So what if I need a little extra help adjusting to life at the almighty West Beverly High School? So what if I use my God-given talent to get me into the college of my choice? I ain't got nothing to hide, got nothing to be ashamed of, and nothing more to say to you.
So great. Although I will
slowest
say...
Slowest and loudest of claps. I really... We never see him again, of course. Spoiler. Super miss that guy. Mm-hmm. Cute. And yeah. Could really rip off an anti-Brandon rant like nobody's business, even though it's like totally teachy and like, oh, let's teach the hero about his preconceived notions. Like, the guy really carries it, so kudos.
Yeah.
James, we miss you.
R. I will say this, though. For someone whose dad works in the library, it's awfully loud, guys. Come on. You can sort of hear in the background a couple of people like trying to shush them and then being like, well, I guess this is happening. Anyway. Brandon has regrets, and when he goes home and walks into the middle of the car theft story, Jim is like, don't even worry about it, just focus on your tryout tomorrow, and then Brandon brays at him about caring so much about Brandon playing basketball, and then Cindy has to talk to Jim about what his problem is with regard to Brandon's school athletics career, and that, Jim's response is clip 18.
Okay, maybe I prod him a little, but that's because Brandon is a natural athlete.
Zero evidence that this is the case.
Maybe in horse racing.
Come on, Sarah. He could maybe be a gymnast? I don't know.
Bye.
Yeah, it's not great. So Cindy tries to get Jim to back the fuck off. It kind of works. In the meantime, Brandon goes to school and finds James in the gym, and they have this extremely sensitive conversation. Dave, I'm going to call for a pause in the middle, but you'll probably know where it is. That's clip 19.
Listen, I thought a lot about what was said last night, and I can't pretend that in my mind you weren't guilty. Not because you're black, but so I'd have a better shot at making the team. I mean, growing up in Minnesota, racial relations just wasn't something I thought about or had to deal with so much.
Hey, I got news for you. There aren't too many cowboys riding herd in downtown Inglewood either.
Yeah, but that's just it. I'm not a cowboy, and you're not a gangbanger crackhead. We're just two guys from the same school battling for the same spot on the same team.
Pause.
If you have actual, like, articulated words that can touch the hem of that ridiculous statement's garment, I look forward to worshiping with you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What you can't get from just the audio is that Brandon thinks he's had such an epiphany and is being so magnanimous by telling James he's not a gangbanger crackhead. Like, oh, thank you. That's so nice of you.
Why is James even permitting this conversation to happen is actually my question. Like, take your own basketball, go to the other hoop at the other end of the court. Unless you want, like, a whatever, face full of Spalding, the fuck out of my face, Brandon, forever.
Yeah, well, continue. Let's finish off the clip.
Coach Riley's probably only going to take one of us, you know.
Because we're both tiny.
Stack them both together.
Smart money's on you.
Not necessarily. Not the way you play defense. You want to go one-on-one?
Yeah, sure.
twinkly music. So this is maybe the most dated writing in the episode, I think, in that the lesson that the hero has learned is apparently life is a true meritocracy, and Brandon was secretly right all along, which is really not how we talk about race, I think, anymore, or shouldn't, if we're not an idiots.
Although I will say, at least they put it out there, like really put it out there. Mm-hmm. Like they just put all these like stereotypes, like they really didn't water them down at all, which I think is probably down to the writing staff not being capable of any nuance, mm-hmm. really. Like, I mean, if you look at Friday Night Lights, which actually sort of handled these differences with some realism and grace, versus this, which is like just, you know, wooden blocks on a whatever play mat somewhere.
Yeah.
But I did kind of admire just how, and that they're completely willing to make a number of people look like complete assholes, including Jim, who it turns out sank the winning shot against Franklin at the buzzer because they literally had no other players left and they would have had to forfeit the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before we get to that,
It's still terrible.
Yes.
Continue.
And we get one more chance for Steve to be gross, and that's clip number 20.
Hey, Minnesota.
Hey, Andy. Don't let those suckers intimidate you, Brandon. This is our school, not theirs.
Only in your mind, Steve.
What?
And then he does that like paternalistic ushering Andre away from whoever he just supposedly burned thing.
Yeah. It's not great. This is really the most we've seen of Steve. And it's, as you say, it's impressive how willing they were to make him look completely terrible.
Although he's obviously pro-Asian since he's wearing some sort of button-down obi in every single shot.
Just about. So then we wind up with the return, thank God, of Mondale and the reveal of Brenda's deception, and that is our final clip.
Well, you're just lucky the perps weren't Phi Beta Kappa. They abandoned the car right in the middle of the intersection.
Takes all kinds.
Even left the keys right in the ignition.
Brenda, isn't that your keychain?
The end. Brenda learned to take your keys when you leave your car, and Brandon learned not to stereotype people based on their race.
And Jim and Cindy learned nothing, because I don't think we ever hear about this incident again. She's certainly not fucking punished.
No, never. Mm-mm. Yeah, so that's...
You see, bad. With mayonnaise, you can't be too specific, okay?
Mayonnaise plus mad bad on top of each other. I'd love it.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
So I feel like this is obvious, but Sarah, who is your pick for most valuable player of the episode?
Oh, my God. On offense and defense, James.
Yep.
My man.
Agreed. With an assist from Andrea. For calling Brandon short and sour grapesy.
Absolutely.
Least valuable player.
You go first.
Jim.
Huh.
For trying to live out his failed glory as an athlete through his son. Like, he's tried to live out everything else through his son from what we've seen so far. And
well,
you?
Yeah, that's a solid choice. Like, that opening scene that you thought was a dream sequence, I think might have been Jim's dream, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think Brandon's braying is just well-meaning enough that I have to give it to a different Walsh entirely, and that is one Brenda.
Interesting.
Yeah, not a fan. Mm-mm. The bangs are at their absolute worst. So is the fashion, which is not her fault.
Yeah.
But, like, just a moron and no consequences.
Mm-mm. And still so toadying around for Kelly's approval. Like, it's really unseemly and gross. Excellent pick. I think we can't do the Kim challenge this week because Dylan is not even in this episode. I feel like they've shown these out of order because Jim makes a reference at some point to like a barbecue in October, even though in the Cheryl episode it was November. So I think Dylan maybe came on the scene later and then they shuffled the episode so that it wouldn't be so weird. But that's it.
Well, I'm glad we solved race relations together, Kara.
Yeah. next, it'll be in many more seasons before we squash it, but I think Brandon still has to meet a couple more people of color this season, so that'll be exciting for him, since he never met one the entire time he lived in Minnesota, apparently.
Oh, I dread it.
Anyway, dread it. Thank you. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back next time.
Woohoo!
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!